Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joydenator, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am delighted to have my husband, Dudley Denator, as my guest for today. Dudley is a business owner, graphic designer, aerial and architectural photographer, writer, musician, and singer-songwriter. After majoring in design and photography at Art Center College of Design, Dudley did contract work for a few ad agencies in San Francisco and Marin. In 1980, he started his own business, which is known as Denator Design and Photography. Dudley's experience includes branding, identity design, and layout for advertising and collateral materials. His photographic specialties include architectural photography, exteriors and interiors for commercial properties and hotels, as well as award-winning aerial photography. Dudley is also an accomplished musician and singer-songwriter with two albums of original music recorded by a close friend, Robert Berry, owner of Soundtech Studios in Campbell, California. Dudley enjoys performing live during the West Coast Songwriters competitions held monthly at Phoenix Supper Club in San Rafael, California. Dudley has written articles for a few publications as well as ad copy for various clients, and he has started writing a novel, Europe for a Song, about a trip he and two friends took to Europe in the summer of 1971. During this six-month journey, he supported himself by playing guitar and singing in the streets. The novel will follow the events of the journey, along with many fictional additions. During the first part of the show, I'll play his song, Lost in Space, Found in Time, which is a favorite of ours from his album, Holiday on Earth. During the last part of the show, you'll get to hear Holiday on Earth, the title track for the album. To connect with Dudley online, please visit his website, www.denator.com. That's DENADOR.com. Welcome, Dudley.
Hi.
Hi. Good, you are there.
Yeah, I was trying to swallow and get ready for you to ask me that, and you came on earlier than I anticipated, and I had this big frog in my throat. So I'm here, though.
Oh, good, good. I'm really glad that you're here. I am so excited about this year. Oh, my gosh, there's so many things to celebrate this year. And I would like to focus our conversation today on Chapter 10 of my book, which is about dreams coming true. A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes is the title. And our lives have been so incredibly full of heart's desires and dreams coming true. And I just would like to talk about that a little bit during the show today, and also to look back with you about some of the things that you're glad you did, look forward with some of the things you feel inspired to do, and also to talk about how important it is to enjoy the present, to enjoy each day.
It's important, the moment.
I know. It's so funny because the subtitle of my book says enjoy the journey and celebrate your success. It's funny that one of the things that I wish that I had done differently on that subtitle, though, is to say share your success, because while it's important to celebrate the successes, and we do that, which is really, really fun, sharing the success with other people is part of what makes it so enjoyable. And I just am so thankful to have you in my life, and I'm thankful that you inspired me to do so many different things, including going skiing for my first
time. When you share something, just to get back to that, because I think there's a viable aspect of what you were talking about. When you share something, you're taking it beyond you. So I might be proud of something, but when I can share it with someone else that's got a like interest or similar desire, then it becomes something the two of us have in common, not just me. It's not just mine then. I share that with someone else. And that's, I think, sharing is success also as a manner of bringing someone up to your level. And that is always a wonderful thing to do for anyone. And it doesn't mean that we're on different levels necessarily inequality-wise, but we have different interests and we have different areas of expertise. And if we know that I can say something that will improve your ideas with regards to this X, say, that I have experience with, then I brought you up to that level and enriched your life a little bit more. So that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, that's what I'm meaning. And so it's so funny because I put the tagline for my email has the enjoy the journey and share your success, because that's what I really wanted to get across. And it can be sharing it with one other person. It can be sharing it with a whole team of people. And one of the things that is so incredibly true is that in order for dreams, especially big dreams, to come true, it doesn't take just one person. It takes a team of people, whether that team's only two people, three people, or is a whole bunch of people. And so, yeah, sharing it is just such a huge part of it.
I really have a little bit of a sense of loss for people that think that they can do it all by themselves, because they're not only making it a much more difficult thing, no matter what it is, to do, but they're not, again, sharing in the experience. They're becoming kind of selfish in the experience, so to speak. But if you bring other people in, all of a sudden the you part, the ego part, is less, and the
mm-hmm.
focus on what is more, just by you
right.
including other people. And I just, I totally believe in that and think that that's the way to go. May not have always thought that way when we're young and I get a little hard-headed. You don't want anyone else to be part of your shtick, so to speak. But as you get older, you start to realize that having that be shared with someone else is actually a strength. It's not a weakness or something that is going to make it lesser you. It's making it more you.
Yeah, and it's so amazing that when you think about it, that anyone thinks that they can do it all, and who would even want to? That's how you totally exhaust yourself, is if you try and do everything. So,
well, it's
funny because
in a collaborative way, it's really funny because after writing so many songs and after writing screenplays and, you know, this little novel I've got going and other articles and stuff, expressing myself and however I can, it's just an interesting process that you have to have an idea. In other words,
mm-hmm.
the idea just doesn't, sometimes it does come floating from the universe, because I believe in the one, the universe, as my superior and one only. But I think that there's an aspect of developing an idea that is singular to the person who's the author of that idea. And that usually comes through some sort of a little epiphany that's directly related to your lifetimes and your environment. But then sharing that with someone else broadens the scope of how you can make that happen or matriculate through the process of whatever it is. And that is, again, the sharing part is broadening you, and it's also giving the subject a much larger field to play in rather than just your own mind.
So true. And the other thing is, it just plain makes it more fun.
True.
Collaboration is fun.
Well, like last night, Bob Crane came over, as you know, you were listening to us, and Bob and I have been singing for years now and really have two voices that are great for harmony. That's one of the
mm-hmm.
things that just kind of came out of the universe. It didn't, we both had it, but putting them together really made a huge difference. But he came over with an idea. We worked the idea down and then started to build this song. And by the time we finished it and we recorded the first little rough session, it was an amazing feeling. And you felt it, too. I could tell you felt it by being in the room. It just,
mm-hmm.
you know, the aspect of taking a piece of clay and molding it into a pot, or taking a drawing and making it into an image that is recognizable in some way or attractive in some way. It's just the feeling of it, of having something come from nothing in a way, is just something that I think that all humans have in them, and probably one of the few sources of that. In fact, the only source of it really are humans on the planet. I can't really think of too many animals that have the same sort of ability to do that. Perhaps animals that are builders and things like that, beavers and they're building their dams, but most of that is instinct rather than intellect that builds that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this amazing ability to create things, and in collaboration we have the ability to make it even better.
So true. So very true. And it's also so true that I loved listening to you and Bob collaborating on his new song last night. That was really good. I love the music. The music to it, even without you two singing, before you started singing, it sounded like almost like a Hawaiian music. And so I loved that already. And then when I did listen to you two, figuring out how to create the harmonies was really, really, really awesome.
That was really fun. And at the end, it turned out that we switched harmonies on the very last few notes of the refrain that we repeat a number of times. He goes high and I go into the middle instead of the other way around. And we ended up looking at each other and just got this big grin on our faces. It was fun. It was really a great feeling.
Yeah. Well, speaking of collaboration, the song that Lost in Space, Found in Time that I wanted to play toward the beginning of the show. It doesn't have to be right away, but I wanted to talk a little bit about that and about collaboration with Robert Berry at Soundtech Studios. Oh my gosh, is that fun?
Oh man, what a change in my life.
What a what?
What a change in my life. Well, just to let the listeners know that the fact
mm-hmm.
that I had not met Robert Berry when I met you, but shortly thereafter I did go and see him perform, and I was fairly awestruck at his abilities, especially the fact that he didn't just play one instrument, he plays like five or more, and doesn't do it like an amateur, any of them. He plays all of them like a pro, which is just incredible. I don't know any other people that I know of, even professional musicians that have been at it, that have that kind of breadth of musical knowledge. None. I can't think of anyone else that comes close to Robert.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just an amazing thing. But what happened to me was I took a song that I wrote a long time ago, and it was originally called Climbing. And then I started to revisit it, and I love the music behind it, and it ended up rewriting the lyrics. You sent me to a songwriting class through the Learning Annex, and the
mm-hmm.
teacher there
don't worry about his name, just
can't
talk
remember.
About
had listened to a demo tape that I had brought with that song and I think about four or five others on it, and he got back to me. I thought he had given up and, you know, never was going to listen to it or get back to me because he lives in Southern California in Hollywood. But
mm-hmm.
he did. He called me back and he said, look, there's three songs on here that have definite potential. You should record these. Have them done professionally and get the tape back to me, or come to L.A. and I'll set you up with a studio. Well, it turned out that his setup for a studio and what Robert was charging us, it turned out, which we eventually went to Robert, was about half. So not only that, but I'd been in other studios and felt uncomfortable as a singer-songwriter because I don't sight read music. So I can't sit down in front of a piece of music like a lot of pianists can and just play it.
Mm-hmm.
I can play it after I look at it for a long enough period of time. But in some cases, actually, I've sat down with a piece of music and then I've been able to figure out how it works better by ear before I can figure out how it looks on the page. Anyway, just getting back to the fact that when I went into a studio, I didn't feel like I knew enough music to be in the studio, to have that
mm-hmm.
privilege. So I
mm-hmm.
didn't go into that many studios, and I stayed away from them. And even as bit musician parts and stuff like that, I'd go in and I'd do my deal and then just leave. But with Robert, I came into the studio feeling like I had this expression to give, and he was there to just ensure the fact that I was going to succeed, period. He was all on my side. He had great ideas, but he never forced anything on me, and he always asked before he did anything that was unusual or different than what I had suggested. And what we ended up with, this incredible collaboration. I would take a song that I had written, like the first song, like Lost in Space, Found in Time. We recorded it on that time, the first one. That was the first one that we recorded, too. I took it down on a cassette tape. Mm-hmm. And we ended up recording the entire song down there. From that point, I bought a little recording deck, a Digio 2 Pro Tools limited edition deck, and I would record the basic tracks. That would be the basic guitar track, click track, and a vocal track, and then take that down to Robert, and he would go through the rest of the song. But it was largely played by three people, either myself, Xander, our son, who was a large part of the first album and a huge part of the second album, and then Robert. And Robert played all the other instruments that either Xander and I couldn't or did not play as well. So it largely Xander played piano on a number of the tunes, especially on the first album, and guitar and bass, and Robert played basically guitar, bass, or not guitar, but bass, drums, and any keyboard, whether it was a synthesizer or a piano. But the collaboration between us and Robert was just incredible, and it was so fruitful that I couldn't give it up and had to go through and generate this second album after we finished the first one, and that was done with our son Xander, and was just an incredible aspect of working with your son, which is, I don't know too many people that can say this. I've gigged with Xander, and I've written a number of songs with him, and we're like a team. It's an amazing thing to have someone that you trust so entirely and that you respect so entirely that you can go back and forth and throw ideas back and forth. You can argue about stuff. And then finally you can come to something that both of you agree on and then put it down and then build from there. And it's an amazing process.
Oh, it is an amazing process. And, you know, I was there for the whole thing. I think I only missed one session out of both albums. And every day that we spent there at the studio with him was just joyful and fun. And he is just not only the most, like you said, the most amazing musician, but he is the way he treats people. He cares. He makes what you're doing even better than what you imagined it could be.
And
while
he never made me feel
keeping the same feeling. What?
He never made me feel like anything other than a professional musician. And I have been a professional musician, but I'm not currently. And at the time that we recorded, I wasn't. In fact, I had just started playing really a lot at that point in time, largely because of you and your interest and then, you know, the interest from the man that was at the Learning Annex that taught the first class. That's the first thing that, got
me off.
Then Robert's interest. When he first heard that first song, Lost in Space, Found in Time, he was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is still one of my favorite songs out of all the songs we've written since then. I think we've got over 30 songs now between the three of us, about 35.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So.
Yeah, I've lost track of how many tracks there are.
Well, there were 29 on both albums, the combination of both albums. And then the songs that we recorded were three or four, and then there was a couple test songs we did, and then Merry Christmas. So there's, I think there have been close to 34, 35 songs altogether.
Wow. Well, the very first song was recorded in Lost in Space, Found in Time was recorded in, I think it was November of 2003. And then it was after that we gradually started doing more and more, recording more and more of the songs. And I want to play this song, though, Lost in Space, Found in Time, and then I want to talk to you about it a little bit after we listen to it. It's a little over 3 minutes, and I am going to play it now.
I hear you, baby. I see you.
Sound and Time. I love that song, Dudley.
I already rewrote some of the lyrics, though. I was singing them along with it.
Yeah, I know. I heard you. And just so everybody that's listening will know, the pictures in the slideshow for the show include one of you, me, and Xander singing at Phoenix last August. And oh my gosh, talk about a dream come true for me. That was my first time getting to sing with the two of you. So it was all three of us, the Denators, singing together. Yeah. Because I sing with
and
you.
It was that song. It was Lost in Space,
yeah,
Found in
yeah,
Time.
Yeah, yeah, it was that song, Lost in Space, Found in Time, because it really is a favorite of all three of ours. And, you know, it's also one of the sections of Chapter 10 in my book, The Art of Living Life You Love. It's actually called Lost in Space, Found in Time, and it tells a little bit of the story about you and how much you had loved music and how you had been a professional musician before I met you and then had decided you didn't want that kind of lifestyle. And
Right. And
that's part, and luckily for you, had also been really talented with art and graphics and photography. So you were able to start your own design and photography business around the time, just after I met you, I think you started that because I met you in 1979, and then you started that business in 1980, and we got married in 1982, which means that we're coming up on this June 35 years together being married. And so I don't know, it's just been so much fun. And then having Xander be part of our life, oh my gosh, having him come into it, just that made everything so much better.
Oh, I know. It really was a treat. He's always been such a wonderful addition. Even the times when he's a little, you know, not feeling 100%, he's still 100% in the family and just a true love and very, very kind and intelligent person. I mean, he's very smart, too. But just love him. Just love being around him.
Oh, I know. Me too.
Really looking forward to this weekend. That is going to be special celebration, the three of us.
Yeah.
Squaw Creek.
Yay! Yeah, happy birthday, Dudley. It's going to be your birthday on Saturday, a big one, and we're going to have a celebration vacation, the three of us. And it's so exciting that this is the first time that we'll be skiing with Xander since he left for college in 2008.
Yeah.
That's going to be so cool because we used to do a lot of skiing when he was young. And thank you, by the way, for inspiring me to try skiing at the age of 26 years old. I had always been curious about it but had been afraid to try it, especially the older I got since I didn't grow up doing it. And so Xander grew up on skis pretty much. I think he took his first lessons at 3 years old.
He actually slid around when we went to Bear Valley when he was two on a pair of plastic skis. I mean, if you wanted to count that, probably doesn't count.
Yeah, I remember that. But his first official lesson was
when he was three. Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. And he's one of those rare kids who's 27 now and he still has never tried snowboarding, hasn't wanted to try snowboarding, and still
really
enjoys
skiing. He always did enjoy skiing. I think if he had been in the mountains more and had more friends that snowboarded, I think he probably would have tried that, and that would be fine, too. It's always great to learn that different style of balance. And, a lot of my older friends that I know through skiing at Squaw and so on and so forth that are a little worried about their knees have gone to snowboarding because it's not as hard on your knees. It's harder on your butt and on your head, but... It's because you fall on those things. and your wrists and stuff, but it saves your knees. So, but I don't know. I've never felt as comfortable. I've surfed and I've skateboarded a little bit, but I'm not as comfortable going sideways as I am going straight forward.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. For me, skiing is it. I don't ever intend to go on the super steep runs and that sort of thing. And that's one of the things I wrote about in my book about how, you know, when something's both scary and exciting, it's something that will help you grow. But if it's something that's totally scary to you, it's probably something someone else wants you to do that you don't want to do. And I don't want to go down those really, really steep runs at Squaw Valley. I like the easier ones.
Well, we'll find a nice place for you to ski.
Oh, I know. We always do. Well, time is just flying by. And, you know, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your design business and your photography and then get back and the creativity involved in that and then also have time to play the title track from that first album of yours, Holiday on Earth, toward the end of the show, because that song is so much about what my book's about. It's what our life's about. It's about enjoying our time here on the planet. And that leads me into, this seems like a good time to ask the questions I like to ask during my show for our listeners to think about how they would answer them. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limits and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And, you know, it really is such a wonderful place, and there's definitely things that go wrong and the contrast of things going wrong for us or other people really can help us focus on what we most want and help us get clarity on what really does matter and who matters to us. And so, you know, I'm just so thankful to be here and I'm thankful to have you and Xander in my life and for all the things I've learned that I've written about in my book that can help other people live a life they love. That's what I want for everybody.
Yeah, talking about overcoming or doing something that's out of your comfort zone, it was back in 1998, I think, that Xander started playing baseball, and I had to have my shoulder repaired so I could even throw with my right arm because I couldn't throw anything other than underhanded until I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the operation done, and then I could do that, and we were throwing and throwing and throwing, and he was really a neophyte, and his coach didn't really think that he was going to be able to play, and I said, well, I'll stick with him, and, you know, we'll practice, and he'll be okay. And he went from being kind of like maybe he won't be able to play to a star starting pitcher on the All-Star team at the end of the time that he played baseball. And that is a real testament to his work and prowess and just never even considered giving up. Even though
mm-hmm.
this thing was something that was a monumental, huge mountain for him to scale, he did it. So just
I know.
If you take the time and persevere and go for your dreams and practice, 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 you know, then look for the edge and find someone to help you, you almost guaranteed to succeed.
Yeah, and Xander and I talk about that a lot, and you and I talk about it a lot with each other and with him, and it's so true. It's like, you know, people think that they can't do things that they would be excited to do, but it just takes lots and lots of practice. Like, for example, you two inspired me to finally take singing lessons in 2007, 10 years ago, and I had always wanted to sing, but I was so afraid to do it, and, you know, That's a whole story in itself, a long story that I've talked about many times and talk about in the book. But
it's like when we did we wrote the song Merry Christmas together. I wrote the music and helped you write the words, and Xander put his 2 cents worth in too. So all three of us are part of it. But the interesting part was last December when we sang it for West Coast Songwriters, the two of us. It was wonderful because we practiced and practiced and practiced. We had changed quite a bit of the words, so we really had to think about it, and it's a very alliterative type song structure. where you have to have the words said and spoken and sung directly into the music, or if you get off, then you're really off timing and stuff. So it's a difficult song that way, but it takes practice. But we practiced, what, 25, 30 times? We had little check marks on the list on the song. Right,
yeah, you actually would do little hash marks and cross them off, 1, 2, 3, 4, hash mark across it for 5, you know. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It worked out really well, and the song was really well received, and I don't remember making any errors. If I did, it was probably just a little guitar error or something like that, minor stumble.
Yeah, but oh, my gosh, practice. Focus and practice, those two words have become such a huge, important part of my life. And it's so funny because I realized that you inspired me to try skiing when I was 26, and then Xander inspired me and you, but he's inspired me at the age of 62 to try yoga for the first time with the whole yoga with Adrian. So, you know, it's funny because he's so Xander's so into numbers, and it's 2-6 and 6-2, you know, that you two inspired me to do two things that I never dreamed that I would be able to do or even want to do, and now I love them both.
Well, the bottom or the resolve of doing yoga, especially, we've been doing it now for 6 months, I think.
No, over a year. Well, almost a year for me, and I think at least 6 months for you, probably maybe
6-7 months for me, but I've noticed that as I was getting older, that I'd get up out of a chair. Oh, God, my back. I'd have to take 10 minutes to unfold my back. And if I had to get down on the floor and then stand up again, it would take me a good 5 minutes to get all the way back up and so on. And I was having trouble if I fell skiing to get back up on, if I was on a flat slope. If you're on a steep slope, it's not as hard. Just get your skis underneath you. But this has all changed radically since I've been doing yoga. All these small movements and the little twists and the stretches and everything have just made an amazing difference in the way I can move. I feel like I've really lost about 10 years in terms of my physicality. I feel like I'm more like about 60 than 70. So I never intend to quit doing yoga. I just really enjoy it. It's part of my day that I look forward to. And even though when I first started, I'm kind of grumbling a little bit, by the time I get into it, I'm just singing with pleasure. My brain is just happy, and all my little muscles are going, yippee, and it's a great way to start your
day. It really is, and I'm so thankful for Adrienne Mishler and her doing these Yoga with Adrienne videos on YouTube, so you can try it. Start out with just the basic ones with Tadasana, practice that, and then Cat-Cow, and then Downward Dog, and then do the beginning one, and then go on to the ones where she has 30 days of yoga, and then she has the yoga camp, and now this year's Yoga Revolution, which she's on day 25 of that right now. And what a gift. But, you know, we're running out of time. We've only got a little over 10 minutes left. And I'd like to have you say a little bit about the song Holiday on Earth before I play that, and then I want to play that and talk to you a little bit more about living our time here as a holiday.
I wrote this song for you. You know this.
but the listeners don't.
Yeah. We always have considered Earl Nightingale our uncle. I think that after listening to his voice on tapes for countless hours and just being married to the messages that he so comfortably uttered, that I feel like he's part of the family. So Uncle Earl.
I do too.
And his whole thought was that we are actually spiritual beings that are having a holiday on Earth. And so you started doing, talking to me about that, and you gave me the quote from Patanjali, and that's in there partially. And then there are all sorts of other different things that came from what Earl had written in one of the chapters of his book about that. And so that's why I thought, this is the time to write a song called Holiday on Earth. A lot of people thought it was a holiday song, too, which I really
thought they
was
thought
funny.
It was a Christmas song. But, you know, the other thing I wanted to say really quickly, too, though, is I had given, you said, well, give me some ideas. So I wrote out this whole list of different things of feeling, mostly feelings of what I wanted people to feel and to think about while they were listening to it, and then you turned it into this incredible song.
Well, I started doing that by taking your feelings and putting down keywords.
Right.
And then the keywords led into phrases, and then that led into, well, I had a musical thing that I wanted to use, and I managed to marry that with the melody and the chord changes and so on that I had started to work with. But the song itself was one of those things where it started out, and it was a little bit of a problem at first, and I couldn't resolve a few issues. But then as it started to get into the middle parts of the song construction phase, I really got excited. I had never really written a song quite like this before. And the way it was starting to resolve and sound just really excited me. And then when we finally got a chance to take the version that I had pre-recorded here down to Robert and get his two cents, that was amazing. And that day I'll never forget, because Robert has always been a very bright, upbeat person, but he was literally smiling like a Cheshire cat the whole time and bouncing around the studio like a kangaroo. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Every time we put down another track, he's bouncing back and forth.
I know, and you know what?
Laughing and having so much fun. It was an incredible experience.
It was an incredible experience, but we're running out of time, and I want to make sure that we have time to play the whole song. So I'll play the song. It's three. Robert says that about me a lot, too. 3 minutes and 45 seconds, and then we'll talk about it for a little bit more, and then it'll be time for us to say bye to everyone. So here's Holiday on Earth from the first album by Deadly Denator.
Mystery. writing?
And I always say yes.
You
yes.
had me put on the are you celebrating part at the end, and I've always liked that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, I talk in my book a lot about celebration vacations and us going to Maui and being on one when I took that picture that's on the cover of my book. And you know, it's so important to celebrate life and to celebrate love and to celebrate just all the creativity and the wonderful things there are and to spend time with the people that you love and the animals that you love and go to the places that you love. Life is short, and whether you're here for 100 years or 20 years or less or whatever, it's short. It goes by fast. And
I know a lot of people that are working real hard so that they can have the time at the end of their life to do whatever they please, but they're not concentrating on the quality of their life right now. And that, to me, is a sadness that it's hard for me to get around. I feel sorry for them.
I'm really thankful for my mom and my brothers and sisters and your sisters and all of our family, Bobby and Don, all the people, and they're all of them willing to enjoy the moment. They're more into enjoying life and being kind and using their creativity in their own ways and collaborating also, you know, and being excited for you when good things happen. Those things are so important. And
that really divides the way people think, I think, a lot. If people are excited for you rather than resentful, then you know that you really have a friend. And it's not easy when someone does something really wonderful to go, ooh, that's really great. I mean, it comes easily if they're your friend because you get excited that way. But if they're not, that little resentment kind of comes in. So it does give you an idea who your friends are.
It does. But, you know, the other thing, too, though, is by being excited for the person, you're drawing it into your own life. And by realizing that makes you jealous, like me being jealous of you guys singing, it makes you realize it's something that's really that important to you. And so then you can take some action and start practicing and moving in that direction.
Yeah.
We're almost.
We've got a songstress that sings on stage live at Phoenix.
Yeah, now you'd have trouble keeping me off the stage, but
I know, God, I can't get it by myself to save my life.
We've only got about 30 seconds left, but do you have a really quick piece of advice before we go?
Oh, advice. It's the little things in life, I think, that are worth more than anything else. The love in your life, the people in your life, the family and friends that give you joy, that is so much more important than the monetary and the things you own. And so many people can get caught up in that. And my advice is to just, boy, go for the glory of just the joy of itself. It doesn't have to be connected with how much money you make. It's how joyful you can be and how much you can bring that to other people in your sphere of influence. To me, that's the primary. That's where I want to be.
Well, we've lost our live stream, and hopefully we're still being recorded because I love what you said. Thank you so much, Dudley, for being on my show and for being in my life. Bye for now, everyone. Thank you for listening. Please share the show with other people and click the little follow button on my Blog Talk Radio show so I can get more followers. I love you all, and I'm looking forward to the next show. Thank you again, Dudley. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and bye for now.
Bye.